On the second Sunday of Advent, would you read together with me the sermon title on the screen? The Purpose of the Bible. In the first verse of today's epistle lesson from Romans 15, we read this. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. I invite you this morning to please follow your sermon outline in the handout you got from the ushers, and we consider our theme the purpose of the Bible. Is it possible to have too much reverence for the Bible? Did you know that treating the Bible with a holy superstition can prevent us from truly understanding what really is the purpose of the Bible? Well, it's rumored that a man once decided, after looking for years for a wife, to marry a woman named Grace because he opened the Bible and read this passage, "My grace is sufficient for you." Another person held the Bible in so much reverence and reverence and almost superstition that in seeking God's guidance for the direction in his life, he decided the old trick of closing his eyes, opening the Bible, and pointing to a passage for guidance. The first text he found was, "Judas went and hanged himself." Not finding much comfort in that passage, he closed his eyes, pointed at the Bible again, and read these words, "Go thou and do likewise." Hoping the third time was the charm, he closed his eyes, pointed at the Bible, and the text said, "And what you do, do quickly." How about the way many Bibles look? Beautiful Moroccan leather cover, gold leaf onion skin pages that are so hard to turn, gold stamped Holy Bible on the front, as if the message inside the Bible was not related to the unholiness and clutter and pain of our daily lives. Is the Bible a holy relic or a living word? When there is too much false reverence for the Bible, even treating the Bible with superstition, God may not be allowed to speak to our daily lives. Obviously, this is the Advent season, the time of preparation for the Christmas season. And during Advent is a special time when God really wants to speak to your hearts, to touch your lives, to draw you close to Himself. And the Bible contains a message that each one of us sinners needs to hear every day. Listen again to today's sermon text from Romans 15. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that by perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. You and I and every person today need God's gifts of encouragement and hope. If there's anybody out there who's saying, "I don't need encouragement and hope," then you are not really listening to God's message today. But we can miss out on these gifts of God if we miss the way the Bible came to be written, how the Bible was first expressed, and how it came to us today. You see, the Bible did not just drop from the skies like golden tablets, as claim the Mormon cult about their so-called holy book. The Bible didn't drop from the sky with the these and the thous of the 1611 King James English, with the words of Jesus in red that are kind of hard to read. The way the Bible comes to us shouts encouragement and hope that the same God it speaks of speaks to us today. The Bible contains a message with an immediacy about it. Much of the Bible, you maybe didn't realize this, much of the Bible was first oral words spoken to others. There was a crisis. There was a war, persecution, a time of slavery, a deep need, and God the Holy Spirit inspired spokesmen to speak forth His message to declare to people God's truth at the moment. So Moses said to the Pharaoh of Egypt, "Let my people go." So Isaiah the prophet declared, "The virgin will conceive, bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel, God with us." So John quotes Jesus' powerful words to two sisters in mourning whose brother had just died when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." So St. Paul spoke to persecuted Christians in the Roman church with today's sermon text, that by the encouragement of Scripture, you have hope. The Bible now is a written record of those oral words, written down after the event, written for future generations, written for us today to draw us to our Savior, to strengthen our faith, to give us encouragement and hope. What do you want for Christmas? God says what each of us need more than anything else, encouragement and a true and lasting hope, He gives us in His holy word. The Bible contains a message from God through His spokesman to real people in the ups and downs of their lives. God's message comes from Genesis to the Psalms to the Gospels to the letters of Paul. And once more, what about the words of our own Lord Jesus? As far as we know, and maybe you never considered this, as far as we know, Jesus did not write one word in one book. He was too busy speaking to people in the workplace, in the home, on the road, in the marketplace, the temple, at the cross, at the empty tomb. It is a miracle and a gift of God that we have a written record of our Savior's words from the pens of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And why did God give us the Bible? St. Paul has told us, listen again, that by the encouragement of Scripture, you might have hope. A true and eternal hope that comes not just in the words, but the words and works of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom all Scripture points. Remember what Luther said? The Bible is the cradle for the Christ child. Every page points to Him. Did you realize that behind the pages of the Bible are people just like you and me? People on the job, going to school, paying the bills, living and dying. In the Bible is an account of God speaking to them and to us. So we need to really listen to what God is saying in the Bible. And He doesn't speak to us in some non-worldly language, not some churchly language, but in the language of the kitchen, the street, the marketplace. The Bible is a holy dialogue. God speaks and people reply. People speak and God replies. So Almighty God says to our first parents, Adam and Eve in the garden, when they were hiding because of their sin, God says to them, "Where are you?" So the psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord, how long?" So Jesus tells a parable and then asks this question, "Well, now what do you think?" The Bible is a living encounter between God and man. Listen now carefully. The Bible is not a collection of academic statements about God. The Bible is not a list of instructions of how we should live. The Bible is not a philosophy about the meaning of life. The Bible is a record of God coming to where we are to love us, to speak to us, to save us. God does not demand that you clean yourself up Get everything figured out. Have no doubts and fears before he will come into your presence. My friends, God is already here, listening to your cries, understanding your heart, speaking to your deepest need. And if you listen, you can hear carefully God saying tenderly and clearly to you, I love you. I am for you. I want you to live with me forever in heaven. The main objective of the Bible is to point us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God is as close to us as a manger in a stable, as close to us as a cross on a hilltop, as close to us as bread and wine on the altar, as close to us in a Bible preached from the pulpit or held in our own hands at home. In Jesus' words and works, we are given the very love and power of God. Dying love for every sinner. Rising love to give us victory over sin, death, and the devil. The words and works of Jesus declare, who is this Jesus? Who is this baby in the manger? He is Emmanuel, God with us, in the middle of everything that life throws our way. Oh yes, the Bible proclaims to us that God is the God who is in the middle of it all. The Old Testament declares there was a devastating flood, and God was in the middle of that. It shares that Joseph had a family feud with 11 of his brothers, and God was in the middle of that. It doesn't hide the fact that King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and God got into the middle of that. It tells us that the Babylonian armies were at the very gates of Jerusalem, and God was in the middle of that. In the New Testament, we hear Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God with parables. Parables, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Stories from everyday life. Stories like a man one day was beaten and robbed in the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. A woman loses a precious coin in her home. A boy runs away from home and his father, a shepherd, loses a dumb sheep. The God of the Bible is not unrelated to our daily lives. He speaks to us if we will listen. And now comes my commercial. We now pause this program for a brief commercial break. I know that quite often you hear from me an invitation to come to Sunday morning Bible class, to Sunday school, to youth Bible class, to Tuesday men, Wednesday women's Bible class, to adult instruction class, to family confirmation class, to Wednesday night Bible class. Why so many Bible studies in our congregation? And to also faithfully hear and really listen to God's word Sunday after Sunday from the pulpit. Why? So that God can speak to your heart through his word and give you the gifts that he provides you can find nowhere else. How impoverished, how poor is the faith of so many of God's people, because they don't partake of the banquet God has for them in the teaching and preaching of his holy word. My friends, do you have a false reverence or even a superstitious faith in the Bible that says something like this? Well, I can't read the Bible on my own because I might misunderstand it. Or I won't attend Bible class because people there know so much about it and I don't. Or I've just decided to leave my Bible on the shelf at home and let the pastor take care of all that Bible stuff. Or do you go to church to get away from real life? to retreat into a spiritual atmosphere, to deny the mud and muck of your Monday through Saturday lives? Here's a secret for you. That is not the faith of the Scriptures. That is not the Christian faith at all. If these things continue, they can result in an attitude in one's heart that says, God and the Bible really are not relevant to me. He has nothing of value to say to me today. There's no real way to figure out this puzzle I call my life. The truth of it is, sometimes our lives can seem like a puzzle with all the pieces missing. The story is told of a busy father working at home on a project. His little son wanted him to help, but daddy knew the little son would just get in the way and he couldn't get the job done. So the father found him a huge picture puzzle, a picture of the world, the planet Earth, and handed it to his son. He figured it would take the boy so long to make that puzzle, he could get his project done. But to the father's amazement, the boy returned in a relatively short time with the puzzle all put together. And the father said, how could you possibly put that together so quickly? That was easy, said the little boy. On the back of the puzzle of the world was a picture of the face of Jesus. I just put his face together. And that put the world together just right. If the Bible could speak out loud to you today, it would say, don't run frantically trying to put the pieces of your life together. There is one who can do that for you. His name is Jesus. He's at the very center of all that I proclaim. Indeed, in the words of John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31, listen to what the gospel writer says. And Jesus truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Listen again one last time. As God speaks to your heart, the words of today's sermon text from Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture, you might have hope. Thank you, dear Lord, that you continue to speak to us today through every page of the Bible, pointing us to Jesus, giving us what we need most, encouragement and hope. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen.